You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Seoul at Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, and with me today are my co-hosts, John and Jennifer.
Hello.
John. Hi.
Yeah, welcome back. This is your not only your triumphal return, but also your swan song.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
Winding down my time here. I've got, you can call it 4 weeks. I've got 4 weeks left. And
okay.
A lot to get accomplished and some yes. overtime, which is good.
So
why I have been absent.
Yes. Okay.
And more to come.
Okay. So. They've been working you a lot, or?
They have been.
Well, at least you'll be going home with a little extra cash.
That was my thinking, too.
Oh, are they paying you some kind of overtime?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the overtime wage at
you? 18. It's essentially the same as, it's not like time and a half.
Yeah.
It's 18,000 won for a class.
Okay,
but,
yeah.
You know, some schools actually do like three-quarter time. For overtime, or
wow.
yeah,
really?
Like they crazy
you,
stuff like
they
that.
Pay
they pay you less.
Nice. Well, that's an incentive.
And oh, yeah, isn't it? And they write into the contract that if you're asked, you're required to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Some contracts have the mandatory overtime.
They have. This year's contracts did not have that, and it was. They've come to think of that as an oversight. So the contracts
yes.
that are being written from now
yes.
on have a, not a, not that they'll compel you on a constant basis, but that they're. Two or three times a year, you can be compelled to work an extra day.
I have to ask you something. Some sure. friends of mine have taken a job at an English camp, and when they actually went to check the place out, I should say an English village, not a camp, you know. Like,
okay.
They went to check it out, and they found that the accommodation is basically a dorm room. It's in the building that the students stay in. It's just a different floor. And the shared accommodation is actually like a shared dorm room. And it's
like
actually
two people in one room sleeping, two beds
yes,
in one room?
Yeah.
Exactly like
oh,
a dorm room. And it's actually, they've got an 18 trunk place at our school. And the accommodation they've been given at their new place is smaller.
Oh.
Yeah. So
where I am, we each have our own room.
Okay. That it's was, about I was
a,
curious.
You know, I don't know. Bedroom sized with a kitchen sink and a hot plate with underneath a suction fan, so that actually
right.
that little wall resembles a kitchen. You have your own bathroom.
Right.
It's small, but you have a balcony.
Hmm?
You have a balcony also.
Okay.
It's small, but it's doable.
Well, it's nice
and
if you have a
mine.
Little balcony.
Yeah, it is mine.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah. I was wondering because could you imagine if you were
if you
told
hit?
It was shared accommodation and you're like, oh, a roommate, that's not that bad, and you find out it's an actual
bunk
room
beds.
Mate. You know, adult professional, you're not really expecting to,
yeah.
to bunk up.
Oh, God. So, beware, anyone who's looking for a...
Yeah,
you know,
question
get a
everything.
Complete description of the living quarters
yes.
from someone who lives there.
Yeah, I always tell people that your first year in Korea, you're really just finding out what you should really ask in the interview.
Should have asked.
Yeah.
yeah.
So you're really just doing research for your second contract.
In essence, yeah, that's a good point.
And that is a case in point. As is the mandatory overtime at, you know, less than your regular hourly
right.
rate.
Right, yeah. Yeah, definitely check your contract because the overtime rates can, yours is kind of on the low side, 18. It can range from like 18 to like 20, 25, 30.
Yeah, it depends on what kind of school you're working for.
It's 18,000 for a 45-minute class, so technically they could
oh,
say
that's not bad.
Okay.
Technically they could say it's like 24,000.
Right. Ah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Which the school would do and then not mention
right.
that you're not really working an hour.
Right. Okay. Wow. Jennifer, you notice Starbucks has a new beverage on the menu.
Yes. It is, I think, what is known in America as Edzuki bean Frappuccino. In Korea, it's called pot, as in pot bingsu.
Right, yes.
Not
right.
to be mistaken with pot, as in a pot brownie.
Right, okay. this is red bean. People know it as red bean.
Yeah, it's the stuff that's used for various and sundry desserts that may or may not look like chocolate until you bite into them.
Yeah, yes. The red bean tends to be one of the default fillings here. If it's just a bread product and it's like, got to fill it with something, let's just pump it full of red bean.
Yeah.
But now they've made a Frappuccino out of it. They were quite excited, the newspaper.
Oh, it made the paper?
Yeah, because I guess Starbucks Korea introduced the green tea Frappuccino.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of now international.
Yeah.
And it's, popular in the West. And so now they're kind of hoping they're going to duplicate it with the red bean Frappuccino test marketing.
I have to say that my guess, if I had to put money on it, is this will go the way of the sweet potato latte formerly found at Holly's Coffee.
I have seen that, yes.
Horrifying.
Yes, one does not even need to taste it for your toes to curl.
I'm waiting for a paprika Frappuccino or something.
Right.
Yeah.
But is the vegetable that they refer to as paprika?
Paprika?
Bell peppers.
I thought that I'd gotten to that, figuring that part out.
Ah, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Korean is...
paprika is bell pepper.
Really?
Or capsicum, depending on where you're from.
Pimang.
Pimang is only green bell peppers.
Ah, okay. So
the yellow, ones. Red, purple, whatever colored ones, those are paprika.
Okay.
Yeah, I was very confused about that in a couple of classes I taught in grocery store.
Yeah.
And kids were trying to tell me, wait a minute, no, paprika, it comes from Romania and Hungary, and it's ground up. But never mind.
Yeah, right.
I did order the red bean Frappuccino, and... I gotta say, I like the pat bingsu.
Do you really?
Yeah, I like pat bingsu, and I like pat bingsu is like their traditional Korean sundae, almost like ice.
It's like a snow cone.
Yeah, with goopy red bean stuff.
Goopy red beans, condensed milk, and the fruit that may also be seen in fruitcake.
Right. Yes. Yeah. They've actually gotten quite elaborate. I remember when I came here, like year 2000. McDonald's, Burger King had the pot, but it was just the ice and the red bean, and they've slowly been adding like ice cream and whipped cream and fruit.
The candied dried fruit,
right,
with the beans and the condensed milk. That was sort of the one. If you did not go to Burger King or McDonald's, like if you went to a cafe and got
was
what you would get. But yeah, now they have like the fruit bingsu, or as they like to call it, the hurutu bingsu.
Right. Okay.
And the other various and sundry fancy ones are just sort of upmarket.
But I have to say, I don't think the red bean Frappuccino is all that scrumptious. It's got this strange it's got this cough syrup taste to it, actually.
That's actually better than I would have guessed. So
really? Okay, yeah. I always found in North America red bean is not popular in terms of a dessert product.
No.
I've noticed that.
Yeah, most people... because remember, I used to work at a Second Cup, Starbucks, Canadian Starbucks, and we used to have these Filipino moon cakes or moon pies, which were like a pastry with red beans, and they looked really delicious. And so when customers would ask, well, what are those? I'd be, oh, they're Filipino dessert, and they're pastry with a red bean paste in the middle. And it was always that red bean paste that just shut them right down.
They would
Didn't sell many of those, did you?
No, but I would eat them. Actually, they're
Asian market. Yeah,
they were good. And more for me.
Yeah.
A bit like Ignatius O'Reilly in...
Confederacy of Dunces.
Confederacy of Dunces, yeah, where he doesn't want to sell hot dogs to anybody. I'm saving them. For who? I was kind of the Ignatius O'Reilly of the Asian desserts at that Starbucks or Second Cup.
Yeah, it's also really popular in Japan. Their version of rice cake tends to have a big hunk of that stuff in the middle.
Right, yeah. And you'll notice this is actually, I have on the table, this isn't our snack of the week, you'll be happy to know.
Good.
Yeah, this is my, it's a hot day today, it's approaching,
it's warmish.
Well, yeah. 30 Celsius, which is...
It was a nice temperature, I thought.
High 80s, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So so I got out my... I call it my summer kit. So I've got my...
Your wet tissues?
My wet naps, yeah.
Baby wet, yeah. Not vagina wet.
Yeah, right. And then I have the spray-on antiperspirant, cotton fresh. And that's good for, like, you know, your body. Oh, okay, you've got one little one.
I've got a little one. All a right. little mini deodorant that I carry.
And then I have, like, the underarm, you know, stick, antiperspirant. Same flavor. I don't know. And then a little thing of baby powder.
Yeah. Wow. So, all the way to baby powder.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, I have a theory. I don't want to stink, you know.
Yeah, well, that's why. Hence the little mini deodorant that I carry to be, you know, sociable.
But no.
But I figure women. Go ahead.
On the deodorant thing, advice for anyone showing up for a year contract. When I got here, I had with me 5 sticks of deodorant.
Okay.
I gave away one of them to a desperate friend, and then last month found myself needing one. So the moral of that story is 5 sticks of deodorant. You use it every day. So should carry through a year.
Yeah, every time I go home, I bring it back like a dozen.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
A dozen of like the tall ones.
Right.
But you can buy it. You can buy deodorant. You can get it at Home Ever. It's 5,000 won a stick.
It's expensive.
But it's a small, small stick.
Yeah. If you can find it on, especially if you can find it on sale, like, you know, $1.99 or something.
Oh, well, sure.
I've even seen them in some 7-Elevens here.
Oh, wow.
The spray and the stick. Yeah. I found a stick of Nivea for men. It's some side store that sold that kinds of stuff.
Yeah. So,
but you can always get them around Itaewon, but they're even more expensive around there.
But if you can find it, especially on sale at home, then it's definitely, it's worth your weight in the luggage, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. They might look at you a little funny if they check your bags, but this is Korea. They never check your bags.
Yeah. But yeah, my theory is, you know, women, they'll overlook a lot. You know, if you got a beer gut, you know, you're short, you know. Under-equipped. Women will overlook all of that, but if you stink, it's not negotiable.
The under-equipped will not be an issue.
Yeah. The one thing women will not overlook is if you stink. So, So I'm very paranoid about not smelling like... just not being have an offensive smell. Yeah.
Well, you appear to be admirably set for the summer. Then.
Yeah, you do really seem to be set.
You can walk around all summer just saying, well, smell me.
Smell me. Everybody else would be like fanning themselves. And
I guess the other part of my summer kit too is my little sippy cup.
Yeah.
My little Igloo Cool Sipper. Which it's important to have a large
mouth.
Tumbler thing. Yeah. So you can, when you go to Starbucks or Coffee Bean, you can steal their ice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So that's sort of when you're kind of walking around. But our snack of the week. Those little yogurt drinks.
Mm-hmm. It is. They sell them more as digestive aids than as yogurt, but it is in fact some sort of yogurt.
Oh, okay. John, take your pick. We have apple, grape,
I'll take the apple.
And undefined.
I'll take the apple.
All right. Do you want the grape, Jennifer? Or do you want the undefined?
I'll go with undefined. I'm feeling a little adventurous.
Ooh,
and you've already had your adventurous, not so delicious frappuccino.
So is there a way, a trick to opening this? Because I'm just using my teeth.
No, you just peel off the wrapper.
You need fingernails.
Would you like me to help you?
No, that's fine. That's
got
fine.
It.
I compensate with my teeth. Yeah, I have no fingernails.
Except that a little piece of foil went into my...
I have to say, most girls would not be impressed to hear that you compensate for fingers with your teeth.
Yeah. Well, that's one of those things you reveal after you have them.
Hence the need for all the deodorant products.
Here we go.
All right.
But this is good. I like these drinks.
Does the undefined have a taste?
Not quite plain yogurt-y. It's not sour as sour as plain yogurt, because in Korea, plain yogurt has about 5 tablespoons of sugar in it.
Right.
But it's not as sweet as Korean plain yogurt either.
Okay.
It's actually quite tasty.
Yogurty, apple-y goodness.
I think I'm going to buy this one again.
800 won. You know, the theory behind this yogurt this probiotics.
Yeah.
Right. So opposite of, you know, antibiotic.
Right.
That which kills biotics.
Well, no, it's the good bacteria for your stomach.
Yeah. Right. Your intestines.
Have you ever been told when you're on antibiotics to drink, to eat a lot of yogurt because it replaces the good stuff?
Yeah, but if you're in the States, it has to be Danone yogurt.
Why?
Because Yoplait doesn't actually have live cultures in it. It's just pretend yogurt.
Yeah. But the thing is, you know, what they found is, I mean, your intestines have about a billion different kinds of bacteria.
Yeah.
And this is only one.
You know? Oh.
So, yeah. So, and then what they did, usually when you're taking antibiotics, it has the possibility of, like, killing the helpful bacteria. And you don't want then bad bacteria, then those little spaces in your intestine that no longer have the bacteria. Bad bacteria can then start growing there. So, the one theory is, well, just may as well line it with this stuff, which is not harmful.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it's not necessarily the complete menu for, you know, recipe for what you need for the digestion. But what they found is, if you really want to get probiotics that are, you know, very close to what you have in your intestines, you should...
it's going to be disgusting.
Yeah,
it's going
to be disgusting. Yeah, somehow drink
eat raw tripe.
No, drink or eat your wife or husband's poo. Because they're
okay. Who is spreading this?
Doctor of infectious diseases. I was listening to who was talking about probiotics.
I will hope he was being somewhat facetious.
Well, yes, basically the probiotics is. The jury is really out on the efficacy of, but
see, because I've seen crazy people on talk shows.
Yeah, he wasn't actually advocating.
drinking your own urine for some sort of helpful benefit, I thought maybe he was one of those.
He was just saying that the closest you can get is that.
Okay.
And since nobody really wants to do that, don't necessarily throw away a lot of money on probiotics.
I'm suddenly not feeling very well.
Sorry, John. All right. Oh, yesterday I did go to Timothy's, the Canadian, not Tim Hortons, but
was
Timothy's.
Was it everything you thought it would be?
It was quite wonderful, actually. It was very fancy. They have a nice little patio where you can sort of sit. Yesterday was beautiful weather. Today's a little on the hot side, but yesterday was warm, but not oppressively warm.
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful patio weather.
Yes.
So, yeah. Actually, I didn't go to Starbucks once yesterday. I went to Timothy's.
Only once because you went to Timothy's? No.
And then later I went to Illy's. You know Illy?
No.
Right.
Yeah, the Italian. Yeah. You might know, the Italians. They're actually the ones who invented espresso.
Oh.
But they never patented it or trademarked it, so they kind of lost the rights
silly
to it.
Them.
I know. Well, good for us, but...
silly Illy.
So, you see some of those Illy cafes around Korea. Yeah. So they had also had a nice little patio, so enjoyed that one as well. Yeah, but the Timothy's was good.
As far as the temperatures go, I'm just hoping to beat the humidity out of here.
Right, yeah, well, yeah, July, if you're exiting beginning of July, you're good.
Oh, yeah, you'll miss the worst of it.
You're golden. The only, the thing I always advise, try to come in winter, just because then you can wear your winter coat onto the plane and don't have to pack the winter coat. Right.
Or mail it to yourself. Come in, another time of year and mail it to yourself.
Well, but if you come in winter, then you can mail your summer clothes.
Which would be lighter.
Lighter. It's all right.
Yeah, that's true. But I think, unless you are from the deep south in the U.S., you probably should not arrive in July or August because it will probably sour you quickly.
Maybe, yeah.
The weather is just like home here in the summer, except for the rainy part. That is also the rainy season, by the way. So I had no problem. I first arrived in the middle of July, and I thought it was just normal. But some people have been known to want to jump out of a window. Yeah.
It's somewhat oppressive.
Yeah.
I know, I've lived in some very, very humid places, and this is right up there with them.
Yeah.
In July and August.
But at least most people have aircon now. When I first came, that was really odd.
Aircon. Yeah. Main topic. our original main topic was going to be quirky fun stuff to do in Seoul, but John's back, and then John revealed that this will be his last podcast and he's shipping out soon, so I thought we should get John kind of a like a sort of a appraisal of your 1 year here in Korea. Out of 10, between 1 and 10, how would you rate the overall experience?
The overall experience.
We should clarify, like 10 being the best job ever possible, and 1 being like a gulag.
Ah. in that case, I'll go 6 or 7.
All right.
Which is good. You know, 6 and 7 on that scale.
Okay.
I've had jobs worse than that in the States. Sure.
Oh, sure.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's the fair comparison.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Overall,
not the best job you've had.
I'll probably come back for a series of 6-month contracts in the next couple of years to finance a master's program.
Okay.
And so I would definitely recommend it for anyone who thinks, tending toward thinking about it.
Yeah.
So you're off to Europe after this?
I'm off to Virginia for a few weeks.
All right.
I need to get a driver's license because mine just expired. I need to do this and do that. And then off to Europe until, October, November. Greece, specifically.
Okay, cool.
Can I just give a wholehearted, you suck?
Sure.
Leaving us here.
Not that I'm jealous at all. That would not be bitterness or jealousy talking in any way.
Wait. When are you going to Greece? What month?
I'll be there by the end of July.
In Greece? That's like, don't people die in Greece in August?
Not on the beaches.
Not on the islands. I'm on Crete.
Okay. Or is it temperate? More temperate there?
I mean, it can still get very, very hot, but, Crete's this lovely island surrounded by nice breezes and water and whatnot. So even if it is, 104 degrees Fahrenheit, I can go swim in the ocean. Oops. Yeah, Greeks are very clear about that. No, that's not the ocean, that's the sea. The ocean is out there.
Okay. All right.
Don't you see the borderline?
Beyond the Pillars of Hercules?
Right.
That's the ocean.
Hercules,
okay.
Yes.
All right. All right. So, what would be your best moment? Your best moment teaching, and then your best moment just out in the great, beyond the pillars of the
favorite teaching
English
moments,
village.
For the most part, revolved around when I got to have the same group of kids for a week or 2 weeks and do theater with them. That was just a lot of fun. I got to know the kids, they got to know me. Building up a relationship with some kids before seeing the back of them. So the teaching moment, those were one of the best. The most fun things I guess I've done here in Seoul. Noribang.
Noribang? Really?
Fun.
Wow.
That palace, the name of which I can never remember, I went to go see last
Gwanghwamun? Doksugong?
I can't remember. It's near City Hall-ish area.
All right.
City Hall is Doksugong.
Yeah. And then there's Changdong.
But it was really cool. Hanging out with at the village, the village of the damned, we have teachers from New Zealand, all over the English-speaking world. So it was interesting just hanging out with people who speak my language perfectly, but with a different perspective. Different. That was neat. That was fun.
Well, what's one thing your school could have done to make your experience better?
Given me one of those rooms that they reserve for married couples.
Really?
That's actually an apartment. That would have enhanced my experience quite a bit.
So it's better accommodation.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's generally an issue.
Little room is, it is completely my little room, but it's cramped. What else could they have done? They could have two serving lines in the school cafeteria, one with Miguk food and one with Korean food.
That would be good.
That would be really cool.
Okay.
They serve only Korean food.
Oh.
And it's school Korean food.
Right. Okay.
So
yum.
Yeah, out of the whole totality of Korean food, there's this corner over here called galbi that I really love.
Okay.
And the rest, I kind of have to just gag my way past it.
All right.
No so offense, it's just I'm a picky eater, can't help it, sorry. So yeah, that would have enhanced my experience. But I'm looking forward to enjoying, oh say, three meals in a row. Yeah.
Gotcha. So did you have the time or opportunity to provide your own lunch?
I could, and I okay. often did. You know, I can't tell you how many eggs I've eaten this year.
Okay.
And in spite of that, my cholesterol has somehow dropped since I got here. I don't know how.
Really?
Yeah. Make a lot of sandwiches and little simple things, but as often as not, I can cook, but that doesn't mean I do.
Yeah, but at least you aren't required to accompany the kids to lunch.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I thought I read something recently that eggs have a lot of cholesterol, they also have something in it that counteracts the cholesterol.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know. Check that out.
I was just done last, sometime over the winter when I had to have my mandatory physical that we all have to have every couple of years or something.
Some people do. Some schools require that,
Some schools
that, right?
do, but some of the schools, it's really obviously just like an HIV test. That, you know, like...
really?
Let me take a look at you. Look. And now for a blood sample,
right.
you know. So the rest of the exam could not be more cursory. And then the drawing of the blood. As you know, us foreigners, we're all disease-ridden.
Right.
not like the guys going to Thailand, you know, having unprotected sex with the prostitutes. They're not bringing the AIDS in. No, not
at all.
No. It's us dirty foreigners. Yeah.
It's English teachers.
Yeah.
That's actually more of a in the news topic we can talk about too. But, lay the problems of Korea at the feet of.
Right. Well, you know, all the drug problems are solely caused by and revolve around foreigners.
That one I might more blame on us, but.
But I don't know. I still think that's a load of crap.
But used bookstore in Taiwan. What the book?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the guy opened up. New store.
It
used to be over by the mosque.
Oh, you mean just the new location?
Yeah, now he's got a new location, sort of a basement. And he said before he signed the lease, there was some big, huge clause in there about no drugs whatsoever. And he's kind of like, well, yeah, don't
he
worry.
He's like a married guy, businessman, you know.
And as it turned out, that it used to be like a norebang. And but that was just the front operation.
Oh, okay.
Basically, all the Korean celebrities—that's where they went to get their supply. So the guy there was like dealing out of this norebang.
Nice.
You know, like, why would all these top Korean celebrities be going to this crappy norebang in Taiwan?
Yeah. Well, not to mention it is sort of in the Hooker Hill area.
Yeah. He did steam clean the carpets and stuff, so you know it's all. Don't worry about the books and stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. So would you recommend people do the English Village experience, or would you?
I would.
Okay.
Especially. Yeah, I would. Even if you want to come over here and spend some several years, it's probably a good. Stable way to get your feet wet in Korea, and
right,
then
okay.
you're able to look for a perfect Taiwan or university or whatever job.
Because there's more maximum hand-holding in the English Village environment.
They gathered all of our paperwork and went to immigration to get our ARC cards.
Nice.
They brought in forms and took them all to the bank and opened us bank accounts.
Nice.
Right.
So, there was quite a number of perks like that. So.
Yeah, my first school just told me I needed to open a bank account.
Okay. Go. Open one.
Go open one. Not that they ever had time to go to the bank to get my pay, of course, until I quit going to work, until they found the time to get my pay, and then... Suddenly, what do you know? They had time.
Times miraculously appeared.
Time to go to the bank and drive the money across town to give it to me. Amazing.
Did you get paid in cash initially?
Yeah, I got paid in cash.
That's kind of fun, isn't it? Like, when you get, like, a huge...
But, you know, when I first started my first job, I got 1.3.
Okay.
This was back in the IMFE days.
All right. So it wasn't quite a huge stack.
No, it wasn't quite a huge stack of money.
Man.
But, you know, I would just, like, leave it lying on the counter.
Do you do this? I like to do this sometimes. You know, like, you see, like, every month, $2 million is in your bank account or whatever, right? This huge number is in your bank account. And then you're like, you pretend it's actually dollars.
Yeah.
And then, but you're just in this world where it's like Monaco, where there's such hyperinflation, coffee's 3,000 bucks. But you're like, psh, I'm getting $2 million a month. What the hell? $3,000 for a coffee, that's nothing.
Yeah, a friend of mine actually did go back to England and tell all the girls, you know, back home that he had $1 million in the bank.
Nice.
Didn't mention that it was in won in Korea.
Nice. About 500 pounds then.
Yeah.
Wow. I've been watching, speaking of money and all that, just months and months and months ago, I sent out a little prayer to the universe and said, please don't let the won tank before I get out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
And the universe has been very good about that.
Okay.
But I forgot to talk to the universe about the euro.
Oh,
okay. Because the euro is not being nice to me right now.
No. No, if you were just going back to the U.S.,
yeah,
you'd be, you know, doing quite well. But unfortunately, the dollar has tanked and the euro has soared.
Yeah.
Let me, for currency speculators out there, that my exit date is November, December. So definitely bet on either the Canadian dollar reaching all new heights of strength or the yuan tanking like it's never tanked before.
Right.
Yeah. Just on the evidence that when I was working in Seattle, one American dollar was $1.50 Canadian. And then when I moved home, it was like $1.25. And now it's like a buck and a nickel or something. Still have all my American money, not bothered to change it over to Canadian.
Yeah.
And then when I was, my stock options, the day they vested is when I forget which court it was, but the court ruled that Microsoft could be broken up. They were, in violation of antitrust rules. And that just sort of set off the meltdown of the high-tech economy.
Yeah.
So
good job.
Yeah, I know.
Excellent.
So,
the typhoid Mary of the financial world.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yes, that is me, indeed. So, I fully expect that something's to screw me.
The surprising element in that to me, you're leaving. You're out of here.
Yeah, 4 years. I have done my time.
Okay.
Look at my hands, John. I got that 300-yard stare. I've got the shakes. You know, come on. Yeah. All right. But you think you'll be back? Yeah.
Hmm?
But did you find it financially lucrative?
I did.
Okay.
I don't know if I should. Is it impolite to talk about money?
Lay it on us.
I'll leave with about $19,000.
$19,000. Yeah.
Nice.
Wow.
That's one year.
1 year.
Jeez.
I'm 46 now. 46 years old. I'm 46 years old, so the 20-year-old kids, the 20s kids, find it much harder to save as much as I have because they're in their 20s and they're partying and buying this.
Yes.
But yeah.
Right. When you're old, you're like,
when you're old,
what is it matter?
You know, you're good company for yourself.
You're just buying deodorant.
Right.
That's all.
Deodorant and
sippy cups, and you know,
exactly. Maybe
underwear or diapers, adult diapers, things like that.
Right.
You know, but yeah,
my Depends. My denture cream.
Right. So the who's good for the English village environment versus maybe the Hagwon environment?
Well, since I don't really know the Hagwon environment.
All right.
I don't know. You really do have to like kids.
Okay. All right.
If you don't like kids and you're surrounded by 350 of them, that's a lot of not likingness to be in the middle of.
All right.
I would think you'd have to be pretty high energy.
Yes.
Because it's their camp.
Yes.
Not your drudgery,
It helps
day job.
It helps if you've got some sort of penchant toward or experience with theater.
Yeah.
Because it's
a lot of role playing.
Yeah.
And then
a lot of role playing.
Pretending to be excited.
Right. You know, I'm a doctor. I'm a firefighter. I'm a newspaper editor. I'm a
I would imagine too that you should be the kind of person that can work closely with people from different parts of the world, you know, like foreigners, people who speak your language, English, but are from England and Australia, Canada, and you know, and you are a people person in that regard. That, you know,
I think that's just good general advice for coming here, though.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, if you. Yeah, I mean, a lot of Haiguans might be the only foreigner or one of a couple, but in the English Village, you're definitely working with how many foreigners?
I think we have like 30.
30, right, yeah. So a lot of foreigners, people with all kinds of different perspectives, different levels of bitterness, you know?
Yes.
And and it's just another one of those things you're going to have to be able to roll with the punches.
You know what I think would be a good thing if it's your first year in Korea is that if you make a lot of mistakes, you're always starting fresh, like a week or two later.
Right.
So you're not trying to regain lost ground with the same kids.
The downside, or a downside to teaching it at an English Village, is teaching the same lesson 30 or 40 times can get to be a bit of a drag.
Yeah.
And, by the end of it, trying to give the kids the 40th class you taught the same benefit as you've given all of them. It's hard, but it's doable.
Any questions, Jennifer?
What experience, good or bad, has stood out the most for you?
What experience, good or bad, has stood out the most for me? The good experience that has stood out most for me this year is doing this podcast. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun. It's a nice place in the week to know, a milestone in the week. It was just really fun. The worst. The food.
Okay. Still like the food. All right. But I got to say, you're not like just... It has to be lasagna.
No.
Type of person.
Yeah. I'm not.
You've lived around the world and experienced
many. I love Japanese food, most of it. I'm very fond of most Chinese food.
But just skipped right over Korea.
It's just not working for me here in Korea as far as food goes. Oh, aside from galbi. Yum.
Okay.
Yum.
Right. You're from SoCal.
Exactly.
You're used to Mexican food.
Granted, I don't. At the galbi restaurants, it's not like I eat out of every little of the dishes. There are some of the dishes that I just, go past that one and up to this one.
I hate myself and I want to die. English t-shirt finds.
English t-shirt finds. Anybody see any English t-shirts?
Well, I didn't see any t-shirts, but I had I taught newspaper class this week.
Okay.
And the kids can choose different, from a whole bunch of pictures, and then they build a story on a front page of a newspaper around it. And perhaps this little girl is completely unclear on the definition of foolish.
Okay.
It's my pre-story caveat. She had this picture of two little starving girls in some deserty kind of place.
And excellent. I like the way this is going.
Was, foolish girls. The girls are hungry. They have no food. They very have no food. Foolish girls.
They should go buy some. They should go shopping more often.
Go to the super. Go get some food. Don't be hungry.
Foolish children. Don't you know you eat when you're hungry?
Oh, that's mine.
Jennifer, you see any legitimate English t-shirt finds?
I have not seen any good ones this week.
Oh, well, today I saw, and I got a picture of this. I really had to like ninja shooting to get the guy. It was a guy too. So it's not much easier to photograph a man's chest than a woman's chest.
Right.
But it said baby drink beer. Obviously, the verb's not correct.
Yeah, right.
And then there's actually a picture of a baby with like a beer bottle in its feet. You know how a baby might, well, you know, suck on its okay. bottle. Yeah, so it's sort of, you know, drinking beer that way. And then on the back it said, oops, topic, baby and beer.
Wow, that is just a complete hodgepodge of nonsense.
Yeah. But I was debating, is that truly an English t-shirt find? Because it did have a picture of a baby drinking a beer. which, because usually, a good English t-shirt is, you know, that the English is just completely bizarre and the person wearing the t-shirt is unaware of the message sent out. But the person clearly must go, that can't be right. A baby drinking beer. All right, I'm gonna wear that. You know, I don't know what the English says. Maybe I don't know what the English says, but it's gotta be good. I don't know.
The only thing I saw this week was someone wearing something which was obviously counterfeit because it was supposed to be like a Levi's t-shirt.
Okay.
But the spelling was like they got Levi's spelled right, and every other word on the shirt was misspelled. Oops. Which I thought was a pretty good effort.
Sounds like some of those emails you get, like you know, your bank account is about to be closed down, and you read it, and it's just like the spelling is monstrous. And,
man. Yeah, like they didn't even have spell check.
No. another one I saw was a woman. She had a T-shirt that said "Win, Rocky, Win."
Okay. Timely.
Yeah. And I don't. And another woman had a t-shirt, boys need toga too. Woman wearing a t-shirt, boys need toga too.
Boys need toga too.
Boys need toga too, yeah.
One toga.
Yeah. The win
to share.
The win Rocky win I got a photograph of, but the boys need toga too. I just couldn't get a photograph of that. But also, the aircon that I was talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. Sort of our weirder, you know, things here is the Konglish. What's your favorite Konglish? Sort of a English turned into Korean words. Do you have a favorite Konglish word?
I like copy.
Copy?
Because it's copy, as in copy this paper for me.
Right.
It's coffee, as in I'd like a cup of coffee.
Okay.
And the students always manage to blend it together with kopi, which is nosebleed.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
Yeah, so it's a great all-purpose word.
Nice. Excellent. Wow. John, do you have a...
Nice.
Yeah, nice.
Nice. Yeah. I think I've adopted that one. It's part of, part of me now.
So when I was in the Army, we used to say crepe, so I guess that's sort of the opposite.
Crepe. My favorite one is Konglish for elevator, which is Eliabeta. They kind of throw in an
A. Couple extra syllables.
Yeah, they throw in an A that's not really needed. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like the elevator. But one thing I kind of like doing is when you're sort of, you know, you're reading the Korean, and then you're like, what the hell is that word? You know,
right. And then you realize it's supposed to be English.
Yeah, exactly.
Minutes later.
Yeah. Starshotta. Star shots. Where women go and get their picture taken in soft focus, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. Oh, but
I also like hand phone, although I prefer like a shoe phone.
Hand phone, yeah.
Yeah, I like the hand pone too.
Oh. Yeah, you got to pronounce it correctly.
Yeah.
Hand pone.
Yeah. Well, you got hyode. Hyode means, it's the Korean word for like hand or something. Hyode. But then they'll just use the English word, hand. Yeah, but I mean, hand phone is. I think maybe you can use that legally some places in the world. No, hand phone, or is that just something you're so used to in Korea?
No, you're just so used to
okay,
it.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Although my mom calls her cell phone her purse phone.
Okay.
But I think that's just my mom. I'm pretty sure.
All right.
I've got to go back to Greece now, where there are kinitos.
What's
it? Kinitos. It's a kinito, which is root word basically is movable.
Okay. Well, what was the old word for movies? Kinetics or...
I don't know. Modern Greek is kinematografos.
Okay. Yeah,
I think that's what I thought it was.
Well, cinema must come from that.
Cinema.
Okay, all right. Cinema right. Okay.
Yeah, they took somewhere in ancient Greeks passage through the world. They took all of the K's and made them into C's. And for, I guess for a long time they still pronounced them with a K sound, but eventually it turned out that we don't in English anymore. So it's like
skeptic. Sometimes spelled as C, sometimes spelled a K. Well, it does come from the Greek word, skepticos or something.
Yeah, I have to spell that one with a K because if you don't, you could mistake it for a septic. Just a whole bunch of KC confusions.
Yes.
But I did know some of the children actually avoid handphone. They do say cell phone when they're really trying to speak English.
Yes.
Like somehow the word has gone out that it's Konglish, that they should be using cell phone, not handphone. But I mean, you get it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But
communication is taking place.
Yeah. But I mean, one girl, you know, because I would like say handphone to them, and then one girl would correct me. She's like, "Teacher, this is Konglish."
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know.
I just like her. He said, "This is Konglish." But I realized that, you know, when we're talking about that is Konglish. You know, ideas we use that.
Yeah.
It's not something close to us. Like this is close, but an idea to us is something at a distance. Like. That light over there, that idea. Huh, interesting. Never even thought about it. Yeah. But one thing is, Konglish, you know, like there's really complicated words that your kids just seem to know, like sofa, slippers.
Oh, it's because it's just Konglish.
Yeah, and then you find out that it's like, you know, you're so impressed, like, wow, they all know sofa, wow. They all know interior.
Right.
Yeah. And then
they all want to be interior designers. How do they know that word?
Yeah. Then you just find out, oh, it's just Konglish.
I was, when I first came to Korea, I was really impressed that all of my students knew molar teeth.
Really?
Because they use the mnemonic mola.
Mola. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Mola.
Okay. Yeah.
Any other good Konglish?
I love the pronunciation when they say teacher. Teacher!
Yeah.
Teacher!
Teacher.
Actually, teacher. Better than that, I like the jobs that end with man. Policeman, fireman, like he's a superhero. It's policeman! It's fireman!
Yeah, not Konglish, but you know, one thing I noticed is that grade schools. There's usually a big fence around them.
Yeah.
Then they take the extra step of putting barbed wire around the top of the fence. Have you seen schools with barbed wire?
No, I haven't had that.
Yeah.
Okay, I went to school with barbed wire fences.
Really?
They turned them on. Yeah. Good neighborhoods.
Wow. But I just thought, boy, that's, you know, North America. Well, I don't know, maybe down in the South.
Well, yeah, because when I went to school was right, when I went to middle school... was right when they did desegregation.
Oh, okay.
And when I started high school, it was only the second year that they had white students at that high school.
Oh, really? Okay.
And so they got, like, a police officer had an office on campus.
Okay.
And they put in the barbed wire, and, like, the gates were locked during school hours. And wow. You had, like, 30 minutes to come and 30 minutes to leave. It was really pretty full on.
Wow.
And I don't really know exactly what kind of Watts-esque riots they were expecting. You know, I mean, sorry, the school was built like in the 1920s or something. There was nothing worth stealing there. It was obvious that they thought, you know, the locals would be really angry to have white people at their school or something, you know.
Wow.
Which, in fact, I never saw people like in the neighborhood as I drove through on my way in and out.
But I just see barbed wire around a fence. Around a school, and I just think lawsuit, you know.
Yeah.
That's a liability right there.
So is it to keep the students in or other people out?
Yeah, ours was pointed in, I noticed, which really said to me, keep the students in.
Yeah. I really have no idea. Maybe it's just for both, because I think a lot of students would want to go over the wall for sure, you know, but then maybe, what do they call them? Burberry men.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's men who like flash students or something. and I guess they just call them Burberry men. That's the Konglish.
Yeah. Yeah. Why would you have a trench coat if it wasn't Burberry?
So I don't know. You might not want to risk those parts going over a barbed wire fence. You know?
But you know, some apartment complexes have like concertina wire.
No, geez.
Which I think is, you know,
yeah,
pretty full on considering they have a great big parking lot entrance that's never blocked.
I don't know. But I mean,
we just want to make sure people go to the trouble of walking all the way to the driveway.
Right. Nobody's cutting over and going through the grass.
I never have seen a kid actually sort of, you know, dangling by a sweater from the barbed wire. So, I don't know. Maybe
that'd be kind of funny, though.
Maybe it's safe.
Yeah, that's safe barbed wire.
In Korean news.
In the news. The big news, and this is one of those things where I think Korea made the international news, but I think it made the, like, oddly enough section, which is always, like, the section where when non-white people die horrible ways, that's where it goes. Yeah. So if it was white people dying horrible ways, it's, like, main news, but when it's, like, brown people dying in horrible ways, then it's an oddly enough news item. Yeah. So I guess they're moving a base from
Yongsan is moving to
Icheon.
Yongsan is moving to south of Pyeongtaek, where the a little bit south of where the main air base is.
Okay. There's a base being moved. I think it was an American military base.
Yeah.
But long story short, I guess some Korean farmers were upset about the base being relocated. Either going into their neighborhood, or it's being pulled out of their neighborhood, or something. They're angry.
They're getting really crap compensation for their land.
Okay, all right. So in protest, what they did is they took a piglet, a living piglet. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't like a little piglet, but a bigger pig. You know, kind of like a, you know, Arnold Ziffel size pig. Yeah. So then they sort of bound its mouth, and then they bound its... This is quite horrible.
It really was, yeah.
And then bound its legs, and then, you know, ajushi on each leg, and they just ripped the legs from the living pig. Yeah.
Drawn and quartered.
Yes. And then sort of beheaded the pig after. They were making a point about something.
It was to demonstrate their emotional pain.
Okay, all right. So... You know, now a lot of people are in attendance and are obviously there supporting it, but then I guess there were a lot of people in attendance who were rather horrified by the pig live dismemberment, and they took pictures and videos, and the spaghetti pictures are all over the web, and I will put links to them on the blog if you are.
I think the tide of sentiment turned pretty much instantaneously.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's pretty hard not to feel sorry for farmers who are barely getting by or getting their land taken away against their will and getting really next to nothing for compensation, you know, and because the government decided, you know.
Right.
So who's going to take the government side over the farmer side emotionally, you know? But then when you see them dismembering a living creature...
It's kind of easy to log in with the government side on this.
Yeah.
And so
everybody sort of jumped to distance themselves from the ones actually involved.
Yeah. Which I think didn't make the oddly enough news, as you know, it never does, is that the next day there was a memorial service for the pig. And like a little Buddhist memorial service, and people were laying flowers at the grave of the pig or something. But obviously, there were two sides where, you know, that I think what I'm trying to say is that, you know,
I think that's where crazy meets crazy.
Yeah. When you're kind of outside looking in at Korea, the farmers do not represent modern Korea.
Right.
You know, that this is a society in transition. And if you looked at the photos of the people at the pig pulling event, they were all old ajushis, farmers. And the people at the pig memorial event were young people. Yeah. So it's a society in transition.
Yeah.
And, Now, Mike, to be fair, in Toronto, there was an artist who videotaped him torturing a cat to death. All right.
So, isn't that a crime in Canada?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And yeah.
Good.
And so, and then on the internet, PETA made a big point of this video. These redneck guys, American guys, and they shoot the pig, like wound it so it doesn't move. And then one guy takes a chainsaw, and then the living pig cuts the pig's head off with a chainsaw. Yeah, for kicks, right?
Oh, that's for fun.
You know, they did it for fun, right? You know, to make a little video.
Well, I'm glad they weren't serious.
Yeah. So, all right. So the point I'm trying to make is that when you look, we're not exactly innocent.
Crazy can be found everywhere.
Yeah. And a friend who's been here in Korea since, God, like, what, 92, his comment was, well, it's actually interesting that, you know, so many people did come out in defense of the pig.
Yeah.
That, you know, that he's like, 15 years ago, almost nobody would have thought, well, why are we getting upset about a farm animal?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And at the same time, you know, these are farmers. They're old farmers.
Old, uneducated, and probably scared to death that their only livelihood is being taken away from them.
Yeah.
And what are they going to do now when they didn't go to school and they're middle-aged or older?
Yeah.
You know, they've got no prospects and no unemployment insurance.
So you have to remember that farmers, especially livestock farmers, I mean, they see death every day. And, you know, fathers eating their young, you know, animals dying, or, you know, being born with two heads and not living, you know. I mean, they see this day in, day out. And so from their point of view, it's like, well, it's
just a pig.
It's like pulling Lego pieces apart. You know, it's product to them. And, you know, we're refined city folk. And we don't see the constant death and pigs being slaughtered. So they're coming at it from a certain perspective. My own grandmother grew up on a farm, and her attitude towards life, animal life, was those squirrels are eating her cherries, and my German grandmother.
And they make tasty soup.
Yeah. And, so she would set out her little traps for the squirrels, and she was no catch-and-release type person. I mean, she would, like, drown the squirrels in their cages and cut their heads off with shovels, And no gas chambers were involved, but I'm just saying, no cattle trucks, You're only going in for delousing, nothing like that. But, my grandmother grew up on a farm, and she's from the old country, and so
vermin is vermin.
Yes, I remember there is sometimes a generational thing, and
still, it wasn't a very good PR move.
No, really, not.
Farmers are not necessarily savvy PR guys.
Right. Yeah.
Right. They need a lot.
Definitely hard to spin that one.
They need to get some agency to help them with this.
But the point to be taken from this is that sometimes Koreans are very hardcore when it comes to demonstrating.
Yeah, they really are.
Like the
hundreds of pounds of rice they dumped in the traffic circle up at Namdaemun.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
Was it the mother or son team that cut their fingers off?
Oh, God.
For
Dokdo. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for Dokdo, of all things.
Yeah.
What is that, 5 acres of uninhabitable rock?
I hope Dokdo appreciated those fingers.
And then my favorite was the guy who lit his car on fire. Got into his car while it's on fire, and then tried to drive it through the doors of the Korean Parliament buildings.
Wow.
Yeah. And he lived.
Man. Wow.
But there have been a series of people here who have lit themselves on fire. Someone lit themselves on fire for that stem cell doc, died. Someone lit themselves on fire for free trade, died. So they can be...
They're very emotional people.
Yeah.
Be very hardcore sometimes.
Yeah.
About and so, I don't know, lighting yourself on fire and
That's
tearing apart
hardcore.
A pig, it's just...
Yeah.
But... I don't know. A guy lights himself on fire. Why is that less offensive and horrifying than...
Because he's doing it to himself.
Doing it to himself.
Yeah, but then... But when you look at... If he lives, he's doing it to himself, but then, he's got that family that now has to take care of him. And,
he's horrifying.
Yeah.
It's completely, utterly horrifying.
He's definitely hurting innocents, but I don't know.
Yeesh.
perhaps a better thing to do would just not injure yourself or others in the name of any cause.
But
find rational arguments to support your cause.
Right.
The long and the short of it, if you did catch this in the news, that Korea is not a nation of knuckle-dragging, abusive people. You know, it's a society in transition. Speaking about knuckle-draggers, so update on the Daejeon sign people.
Right.
Yeah. We were talking about last week, the Daejeon Hagwon Association.
Oh, yeah.
They're hanging up these signs on their buses saying, you know, foreigners, you are watched.
Right.
And but apparently it goes even a bit nastier. There's also there's a PR campaign that's kind of basically telling people that you know, we are rapists.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
oh,
so yeah. Not to let us into your homes.
Shh, you're not supposed to tell people.
Yeah, don't let us alone with your children because we will rape the children. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And, of course,
aren't there libel laws? Isn't there some sort of something that can be...
You'd think,
but I will say that there is just a little germ of truth that I think that...
For sure.
Whether it's foreigners or Koreans alike, parents should use a little more due diligence with who they leave their kids alone with.
Yeah, true. Yeah. I mean, there definitely have been cases of foreigners who have abused the children. Okay.
But I'm sure there's cases of Korean tutors who do as well.
Absolutely.
Because the parents, they call you, you know, never met you face to face and say, hey, can you teach my kid?
Right, yeah.
You show up and the kids are there alone. You know, I mean, come on, use your brain.
And so, I mean, but the irony is, now, well, yes, some teachers are bad, and some teachers are not qualified to teach. They shouldn't be teaching, right? Yeah. But then the irony is that the Hagwon Association is saying, although we hire these rapists, although we hire these unqualified teachers, you shouldn't. You
know? Right.
So send us your kids, right? You know,
We'll hire these rapists so that we... They can do
so you don't have to.
In our schools instead of in your home.
Yeah.
Now, the logic of that seems to have escaped the Hagwon Association. Yeah. It was a bit like the Where's Herb campaign, Burger King, where it was like the message Burger King was trying to send was, you know, that Herb is a geek because he's never eaten a Whopper, but apparently he hangs around Burger King all the time. So because you're supposed to find Herb in Burger King. But people didn't make that association, like, okay, he's hanging around Burger King, but he's never actually trying the Whoppers. They just thought people who hang around in Burger Kings are geeks.
Right.
That was like that message Burger King was really sending, and their sales just, you know, dropped 10% during the whole Where's Herb campaign. So it seems to be that, it can have blowback, you know, we are hiring rapists, you know, and... But then, of course, teachers are fighting back, which is sort of interesting. Couple fronts. One school, actually, their teachers did have some balls and got together and got their boss to take the signs down. You know, like, we're not going to work if you're telling people to watch us. That's insane.
And then wear T-shirts every day that say, I am not a rapist.
Then another school... they actually went to the, you know, the pension board and reported their school for not paying their pensions and taxes.
Excellent.
Because if we're committing crimes, they must be concerned. And then another woman, she's like a freelance writer. She actually interviewed one of these guys. And this is classic. I sort of copied her interview here. About the banners, a lot of foreigners felt they were racists. Hagwon guy. The only foreigners that felt they were racists were the ones who were teaching illegally.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yes. So
he did a poll. He talked to all of them. And it turned out that...
Did a large market survey, and the results conclusively showed that legally and gainfully employed teachers were not at all
offended
or threatened by
So,
sign saying they were rapists.
So if you are innocent, then you should not mind, you know, the government opening your mail and being
right.
You know,
right.
That's that line of argument, right? And so then she sort of pursues him about the, you know, about us being rapists. So she asks, what did you mean that foreigners are dangerous when in Korean homes? Agwon guy, it doesn't say that. They translated Korean into English wrongly. The woman, what does it say? It just says illegal. They touched. Woman, who did they touch? Agwon guy, they touched the students when they do the private tutoring. That was on the news.
That's why it's called private tutoring.
That was on the news. Of many cases of it. There's many cases of that.
Yeah, undoubtedly. Yeah. I'm sure.
Woman, it was on the news? There are many cases? Had one guy. There's one.
Okay. Well, that's the same thing as many.
One ever is the same as many all the time.
Yeah. And then there's a association of foreign teachers in Daejeon. And they had this sort of big open letter. And let me read you their last paragraph. It's classic. Finally, if the Daejeon Foreign Language School Association is going to support much stricter enforcement of immigration laws, then they should also be ready to support much stricter enforcement of labor laws. Many Hagwon owners bend or ignore the rules when it comes to payment of pension contributions, health insurance, and taxes. Ah. So, yes. Let's bring a big spotlight onto the industry, right. Why don't we?
Yes.
Yeah. So there's definitely some movement in that direction. I really hope it doesn't spread beyond Daejeon because more people will be up in arms. But I think it's beginning to sort of backfire on them. And again, don't take a job in Daejeon. And the best thing you can do, really, help us, is or at least help the people in Daejeon, is if you talk to a recruiter, just tell the recruiter, I do not want a job in Daejeon, and then mention the reason about, you know, foreigners are being watched, the signs. Just make it very explicitly clear, you will not consider any jobs in Daejeon for the reason that the Hagwon owners are telling people to watch you, and you do not feel comfortable in that environment. And then the recruiters, I think, will then pass the message along, you know, sorry, we cannot hire people for this city. You know.
And if you're feeling really energetic, go through some interviews with some Hagwons in Daejeon, and then you get to the end of the interview, just before they want to send you the contract, tell them that you're not going to do it and why.
Forward them the pictures. I put the pictures on our blog, so yeah, and then go, oh, could you actually explain this? No, I don't think I want to work there, sorry. Definitely, waste their time.
Yeah, and drag out the signing of the contract for a really long time, because the schools always hire at somewhat just past the last second.
Yes.
So they always need you here like yesterday because your first class is at 11 a.m. this morning. So, you know, if you could drag it out a couple weeks before you sign and then go, oh, I've been meaning to get back to you. I heard you're all a bunch of racist, fear mongerers.
This week's teaching opportunity.
Job opportunity. Again, this isn't in Daejeon, but it is in a place called Daejeon, not Daejeon. It's in Seoul, Gangnam. Let's see. Pay 2 to 2.3 million working hours, 2:30 to 10, 6 teaching hours, Monday to Friday. Elementary schoolers. I actually like the elementary schoolers versus the middle schoolers.
Yeah.
Middle schoolers are starting to get into that too cold for school, petulant, brooding thing.
Also, I'm not a very tall guy. I'm not very physically imposing. So, when your middle schoolers are as tall as you, it's much harder to sort of throw your weight around.
All of my middle school students are taller than me.
Yes. So, yeah. So, especially if you're maybe a woman, too, is like, you know, you want to kind of teach elementary so you have the physical size, you know.
Yeah, that actually has been an advantage to me, the big, white, hairy guy.
I will say, if you're a bigger person or if you have experience teaching, you know, in a public school, then, you've got that control yeah. down and you can handle them, because they're really whiny and completely unmotivated for the most part by middle school.
I think too, if you've played hockey and you've had the enforcer role, then I think maybe you'd be good for that. That's my thinking. That's a guy who just fights.
Yeah, or bare knuckle boxing experience.
Whatever. Yeah, really. A little of that too. A little bit of the chin music. All right, single housing. It's pretty standard. Round trip ticket, severance. Let's see. www.eslteacherkorea.com. The only reason I kind of pulled this job is Daejeon. That's a very nice part of Seoul. Very, very, very upper class. I forgot subway station that's at. I believe it's on line 7.
Itaewon line?
No. Sorry, oh, okay. the line 7.
Oh, is that the olive green line?
Right, the olive green one. Yeah, olive green one, which is South River, but closer to the river than the loop line number 2. Yeah, so I think it's the first station once you jump across the river. That's actually kind of a nice subway to sort of go across the river, because you get a nice view of the Olympic Stadium.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good, very good night view. I don't know. That's sort of a good. Your school is hiring, John, I guess.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Did they find your replacement?
They've been working on finding replacements for a while. I'm pretty sure they're got a scratch up to speed on it.
And that's our show. Let's see, Jennifer, Cortisol, anything?
Third week in June, I believe it's the 19th, but I really suck at dates. And the topic will be getting your shy Korean students to talk.
Oh, yes, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe before I go, can I give a seminar?
Sure.
I would like good seminars like the care and feeding of your Korean coworkers. Kind of just, you know, how to sort of, you know, placate them and make friends and, you know, little things. Especially, too, it's like, you know, one thing you got to be careful about is, like, you know, if you give your coworkers gifts, make sure you give your boss a better gift. Yeah, that was one thing I sort of picked up online. But someone, you know, they came back from a vacation and they brought gifts for all their coworkers, and they made a mistake in giving the boss the exact same gift the proles got, and he was not impressed. Yeah. So yeah, but just little things like that, you know, things you could do to sort of make your Korean coworkers hate you less, because a lot of times we have much, much easier jobs than them, and a little bit of, you know, bitterness and jealousy can kind of set in, and just how to sort of end around that. You know. So like Cortisol thing still coming up.
Yeah, www.cotesol.org.
Right. Yes. And John, exit strategy. Do you have a lot of stuff to send back?
I don't.
Really?
Maybe some books.
Okay.
But aside from that, I arrived with one suitcase. I'll leave with two.
Oh, man. I arrived with like four suitcases.
Really?
And a big box I mailed myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I'm military taught me to travel relatively light.
Wow.
So the extra suitcase is actually mostly for gift things. So that's among the things that I must do between now and then, is buy green, pale green vases.
I will just recommend the fancy traditional liquor bottles. Because even if the liquor really tastes like crap, you can just tell them it's traditional. It's supposed to taste like that.
Right.
And they come in really nice bottles.
Okay.
Like Celadon. I've given some like look like Celadon masks or the blue and white pottery. You can get really fancy ones in there. Dirt cheap.
Good.
How much?
The most I ever paid was like 20 for maybe a liter.
Okay.
Good.
Sort of goes into our next little goodbye topic. Email. We got an email from a woman, and she's coming to Korea. I don't believe she's coming to teach, but she's coming to meet her pen pal, female pen pal. So she just wanted to know what kind of gifts she should bring from America for her female pen pal, and I guess people around her and stuff like that. And I suggested, you know, like little exotic jams, honey, chocolate. Everybody loves chocolate. Those are usually some good ones.
Honey would probably be really well received because honey is so expensive.
Yeah, yeah, really expensive here. Yeah.
You wanna give something that is cheap for you to buy but expensive in Korea, because then they think that you spent a lot more money than you really did.
Yeah, yeah. And let's see. And then I said, well, you know, like, she wants to spend a little bit more money, like, you know, just like t-shirts from Gap or A&F, Abercrombie, Fitch. Brands that don't exist here, but, you know, the savvy, stylish, and Koreans wouldn't know about, you know, those kind of things. So that's kind of a little sort of...
This might seem like an odd gift, but something like a pair of Levi's jeans.
Really?
Because, like, they're only maybe $40 at home, but they're like $100 here.
Oh, really?
Here.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. I thought, Jennifer, we're not in East Germany. You know? Trade this for a Lada. Okay. Right. Yeah. Okay. I see. Right. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, one time a couple of Korean friends, they came to visit me in Seattle, women friends, and then they went to like Nordstrom's. Did you have Nordstrom's in a...
I know what it is. We don't have it at home. Right.
I never
We're not that fancy.
No, I didn't like Nordstrom's that much. Nerdstrom's, I would call it. I'm sorry, any... They didn't sell linen suits. Seattle. I don't know. I just think you should... Department store should sell suits made from linen. Oh, which you maybe would get in the South, but I don't know, Seattle. I just remember I asked the suit guy, I'm like, how come there's no place in Seattle where I can buy a linen suit? And he almost burst into tears. He's like, because Seattle people don't know how to dress themselves. Oh, okay. Sorry, man.
I don't think I could imagine wearing a linen suit in Seattle due to the rain.
Yes.
Because linen does not behave well when it gets wet.
Well, summer, you know. It's dry and reasonably hot in summer.
Oh, okay.
But the symphony plays all through the summer in Seattle because it's not super hot. But you don't want to go wearing a wool suit.
Yeah.
Right. Blah, blah, blah. But yeah. So yeah, but
get yourself a Korean summer weight suit. I love those when the light hits them just the right way and you can see straight through them.
Cool biz, they call it.
Yeah.
Cool biz. But so they when they came to Nordstrom's, they loved a lot of the accessories and like you know sort of the hair clips and costume jewelry things and I don't know. Like I, as a man, I couldn't buy that, but I think as a woman. Have you noticed anything different between the...
They've got a pretty extensive collection of that kind of crap here. You know. Here now?
Has it changed in the last few years? I don't know why my friend Min Suk was so thrilled with the...
I think because they like it here. I mean, look at Myeongdong. You know, as you walk from here to the subway on your way home, notice the vast and extensive collections of that kind of crap that you can buy here.
It's indeed accessory crazy. Yeah.
Yes.
One of the things I'm... don't need a suitcase for. I'm going to buy about a dozen pair of those dangly earrings for the various women in my life. Kewa has a vast expanse of people who sell dangly earrings.
You still have the hand warmers?
Sorry? Yes, of course I do.
All right. Okay. Bringing those back.
Oh,
good.
Yes.
Yeah. Just remind people not to heat them up in the microwave.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My brother, I gave him a bunch of those hand warmers, and he... tried to heat them up in the microwave. And
some of them can be. I think you'd have to be careful, though, because some of them can't.
Yeah. So if you do try to heat them up in the microwave, then make sure they're in a big bowl of water where they're fully submerged in the water. Yeah, but don't just... Yeah. All right. John, it's been a pleasure having you on
the
podcast.
It's been a pleasure and a blast hanging around.
Can I put your... When you finally leave these shores, can I put your picture up on our host page as the real you? Because right now you're Steve Martin.
Oh, right, I'm Steve Martin.
Yeah. Oh, who am I?
You are Juliet Lewis.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Okay, let me take your little photo then.
Oh, right.
Okay. Sorry. So
your hair looks very nice. Did you just get a haircut?
So wait.
A couple of weeks ago.
Wait in about a month. So maybe August.
That's okay.
Well, I'll give you some lead time.
Yeah, give me a head start.
Exactly. Definitely some lead time. All right. Look patrician.
Look at what?
Look patrician. That's good. Excellent.
Let me see.
I like the little smiley face on your camera, by the way. Did you buy that in Korea?
Yeah. It was part of my my sticker reward system.
Okay, sure. Oh, I thought that came on your camera.
No. My little sticker reward system that I eventually stopped because the kids here, they're like any reward system, they eventually decide it's much easier just to beg incessantly than actually do the work.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Ooh, let me take a picture of the yogurts. Jennifer, you will be back next week?
Yes.
All right. Maybe I'll come down to Bundang, Jennifer.
Okay.
All right. If the weather's nice.
Or what if it sucks, I have to travel?
No, actually, if it does suck, it would be much better to go down to Bundang. And Sundays, I keep trying to find the Raelians. I've been working like mad to find the Raelians, but I can't find them. They've only put in one little appearance, I guess.
Yeah.
A couple little appearances.
Well, I wonder if they got some bad feedback from that.
Maybe. Don't do it again.
Yeah. People already think we're nuts. You don't need to enhance that.
Great. All right. Wednesday we have a holiday. Memorial Day.
Cool. Yes. Who cares? It's a holiday.
Yes. Yeah, right. You're saying you love
I still work it, but I get 50,000 extra won for it. So.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Good golly. Oh, yeah. Money. You doing bank transfers, all your money.
Actually, I really didn't want to go through all the hassle of gathering up all of my payslips to do more than 10,000 things. So
all right.
And I've already sent some out of the country, so
okay.
I'm going to send 7,500 to Greece.
All right.
And I'm going to fly with 9,000 pounds.
I know. Traveler's checks?
Traps all around it.
Just getting traveler's checks.
What I've read is that the rate sucks so bad.
Really?
Actually, last time I went to buy traveler's checks when I was not in Korea, the guy talked me out of it at the bank.
Really?
Because apparently it's just sort of a false sense of security. The hoops you have to jump through to get it replaced if they're stolen.
All right.
You're about as likely to get the money back as if you have cash stolen.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because you have to make a police report, you have to have photocopies of every single one that gets lost. Like, you can't just say, I bought this many.
Okay.
You have to have a photocopy of each individual one.
Really?
And, all the stuff that they don't tell you so you would not do.
Oh, geez, I didn't know that.
Okay. Yeah, right. When have you ever made photocopies of your traveler's checks?
Never.
Yeah, right. Because you think they're insured.
Right.
But no, you got to have photocopy, evidence of them. Mm-hmm. And then you have to make a police report, and then they have to sort of make sure that you're not fraudulently making a claim, so they wait a certain period of time to wait and get the returned ones.
Okay.
Mm. Wow. No security.
So I'm just gonna bury it at the bottom of my backpack and hopefully in $100 bills.
You can get yourself a cashier's check.
Could I?
Yeah, KB Bank.
I wonder if my bank does that. I'll find out.
KB, I go to Weihuan, but Weihuan and KB both.
We'll see. Maybe it'll work out. And I'm going to be in airports. It's not like I'm going to be wandering around in Watts during layover.
That's
or anything,
true.
So.
Yeah.
Airports are reasonably safe these days.
They only charge $10. They only charge $10.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay, maybe we'll do that.
All right. Cool. All right. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
See you. Thanks.
Bye, John.